This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. Thrilled today to be joined by Jim Kendrick. Jim's the CEO of Community Hospital Corporation. Community Hospital Corporation is sort of this magnificent institution that's helped so many rural hospitals to thrive over the last couple of decades. Jim, take a moment, tell us a little bit about yourself and about Community Hospital Corp, and then also about what are the big issues facing rural hospitals today, and are there answers, solutions? What do you see out there, Jim? Let me ask you to introduce yourself.
Great. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. I'll start with giving you a little background on Community Hospital Corporation. We've been around for 25 years, and we were formed by 13 not-for-profit hospitals 25 years ago to help rural hospitals that back then were facing the issues of potential closure, being forced into sale positions, and ironically, that industry challenge is still facing it today. But, you know, that's how we got started, that not-for-profit mission-based focus on helping sustain rural healthcare is still core to our principles. Those 13 initial hospitals were originally our board structure, but over the years, many of the systems merged, many of the systems were purchased, same thing that other organizations were facing. So we've morphed away from that. We're now a 501c, not-for-profit, self-perpetuating board structure. But again, maintaining that not-for-profit focus, focusing predominantly on rural hospitals and helping them sustain care for their communities when they're faced with challenges, bringing them solutions to those challenges. And it's been a very exciting run. I've been here a little over 5 years. My healthcare career started back in 1994 when I finished my master's from Trinity University, and been in healthcare ever since then, focusing predominantly in the hospital space. And started out in the not-for-profit space, went on to the for-profit space for a number of years, and then now back full circle into the not-for-profit space again. Today, we own or manage 18 acute care hospitals. We own 9 LTACs. We have a large group purchasing organization, which is one of the ways we help many rural hospitals save a lot of money. We are a channel partner for HealthTrust, and we have about 120 hospitals that purchase their supplies through us, through our GPO, which is a channel partner with HealthTrust. We've got about $800 million worth of spend in that category. And then we also have consulting services that provide from beginning of the revenue cycle to full expense management to full service management, the entire spectrum. But any particular need anyone has in that consulting space, we're also out there doing. So that's a long rambling answer to the who we are and what we're doing. Any more detail on that you'd like to have?
No, that's phenomenal. And actually, I learned a lot in listening. So thank you, Jim, very, very much. When you look at rural healthcare today, let me ask you this. Where are the predominance of the hospitals that you work within? Are they south, southwest? Are they north? Where are the predominance of the hospitals that Community Hospital Corp works with? And what are the core issues you're following today? What are the big trends and issues you're watching today?
So we cover the full country. We do have a larger presence in the southwest area, the middle part of the country. But again, we manage a hospital in Hawaii. We manage hospitals in North Carolina. So we kind of cover the gamut. But again, if you were looking for the largest bulk of them, it would be in the Midwest, Southwest.
And are most of them still in semi-rural communities or some in urban communities? What does the footprint look like just from that perspective?
The vast majority of them will be sole community provider hospitals and rural markets. We have a few of them that fit into the critical access space, but the majority of them are just small rural hospitals and communities where they're sole community provider hospitals.
Phenomenal. And then what are the big trends that you are following today?
Sure. So let me give you a little background, too, of how hospitals come to us. So when a hospital picks up the phone and reaches out to our organization, many times those hospitals are in a very vulnerable financial state. They're worried about bond covenants. They're worried about making payroll. They're in a spot where they're worried about their sustainability. So many times that's who is coming to the table for us, and they're saying, we're worried about keeping our doors open, keeping our employees employed, and keeping care in our community. So we get the most vulnerable most vulnerable hospitals out there reaching out, looking for options. Many times they've explored relationships with larger systems in the state. Many of those organizations aren't in a spot where they're able to help. or financially can't take on the indebtedness that the organization may find itself in. So we try to find a way to help them see a path to sustainability from where they're at. Sometimes it's the banks that bring us in because of the financial situation. Sometimes it's the board members. Sometimes it's leadership looking for some consulting that ultimately evolves into greater participation. So that's a little bit of how we get in the door. People are reaching out that are in that type of situation. And again, our structure is sometimes it's ownership, sometimes it is leasing, sometimes it's long-term leasing, sometimes it's just a traditional management contract for a period of a couple of years sometimes. So that kind of how we start our process. And if I were telling you some of the things that we're facing right now, I think you probably would get this first answer no matter who you were talking to in the industry, and that is our staffing concerns. Right now, getting the appropriate number of staff, getting the appropriate staff at a manageable cost. You know, we may be able to find agency nurses as an example, but the dollar amount that we're having to pay to get those nurses, if you look at it from a total cost perspective, isn't sustainable. You know, many of these rural hospitals have such a small margin. If they would try to overlay that higher level premium cost of labor on a future basis, they wouldn't be sustainable. So we've got to address that. We've got to find ways to manage that. You know, in many ways, it pushes you back into old care models where you're looking at, you know, trying to make sure that nurses are practicing at the top of their license, taking many of those non-licensed activities and putting them into the hands of non-licensed individuals. So almost a care team model, a care delivery model that goes back to some of the things that we've seen 20 years ago. So that's a unique situation that is not unique to the rural hospitals. It's, I think, all hospitals are facing it, but the rural hospitals are even greater challenge because many times we had the issue of trying to attract staff to those rural communities, bringing people back. It doesn't have to necessarily be nursing. Nursing is our most costly area impacting us, but the same thing with technicians, phlebotomists, all different types of specially trained individuals, attracting those individuals to come back into those rural markets and serving the needs of their communities. That's probably the number one issue that I would say that we're facing across the country right now.
And let me ask you a question. In terms of when you see rural hospitals succeed, Is it based on the macro situation of that community, or is it based on how that facility is managed? And when you think about indicators of success, so for example, is it in a healthy community economically or not? And then how well does it manage itself? And then how important is it for a rural hospital to sort of know these are the things we're going to be great at? And here's what we're not going to do. How important is that making decisions about how to focus? And I know I hit you with a bunch of different thoughts there. The health of a local community, the management of the hospital, and the certainty about how clear they are in their plans. What are your thoughts on some of those things?
Yeah, I'll try to cover several of those at once. It's very linked to their success. So many of the hospitals that you're dealing with in small rural communities across the country may be part of some type of district. They may be have some type of tax-based support, but it's usually a very small amount. But it also gives that taxing entity, that tax-based support that's coming to the hospital, gives them a voice on the governance of the organization. Sometimes that governance comes directly from the district that may be formed, but many times that has been advocated to local community leaders that sit on a local board. And you have these local boards that are full of people that are there. They're not getting paid. They're there because they care about their community. They care about having the resource for their community, but they don't necessarily have an expertise in healthcare management. So many times they find themselves in a spot where what they want for their community, which is good intentions, doesn't necessarily equate to the financial sustainability of the organization, kind of what you were touching on a little bit there, I think. So as an example, you know, so many rural communities may have an OB program and they say, well, we don't want to lose our OB program. Well, the answer isn't you go in and say, well, you have to lose your OB program because it's losing money. It's your OB program is operating at a deficit of, make up a number, of $750,000. Well, if you want to maintain that as a community, we have to make sure we have some way to overcome that deficit. And if you have all services that are running at that type of deficit, you have to look at the overall mix of what's going on. That gets into revenue cycle. You know, are you collecting all the dollars that you can for the care you're providing? Are you maximizing all of the governmental reimbursement opportunities? You know, states like Texas with the 1115 waiver and then the government pulling back the 1115 waiver. So there's so many financial complexities associated with getting the dollars in the door for the services provided. And then you have to get on the expense side of the equation. And are your expenses in line with the industry? And then again, if you're dealing with a small rural community, many times they're trying to buy resources to service the needs of a single organization. And the cost of that is very difficult for them to absorb at a single facility. So that's where an organization like ours comes in from a value perspective, in the sense that we can take that cost, that system level cost, and spread it over the 26 hospitals that we're working with today, opposed to having to have that full cost for that single facility. But going back to what you were kind of trying to pull those pieces all together, it's usually a community that wants to do more things sometimes than it can afford to do, and getting your arms around making those decisions with factual data opposed to just emotional, we want the service, we want the specialty, we want these components for our community. And the answer doesn't necessarily need to be you don't because you can't afford it or can't make it profitable, but you need to understand if it's not profitable, how you're going to make it up in another area in order to maintain the stability of the whole hospital as a whole. So a little bit of rambling, but you know.
No. It's not rambling at all. It's actually fantastic. It's actually great clarity to the board. If we could do it, it's just going to cost us. We're going to run this deficit. It's going to be very hard to run at a profit. We could do it. And then it's a choice whether we could do it well or not. Another question for you. So many rural hospitals, last year was an unusual blip in the radar screen, in that there were very few rural hospital closings last year. And most people attribute that to CARES Act funding, other government funding, and so forth and so on. Do you have a sense of what to expect the next few years as some of that special government funding starts to peel back that's not available? Are we in for a rude awakening in rural healthcare again? You know, given how important these community hospitals are to the communities, are we going to be in a challenging financial time the next couple of years as some of those federal funds peel back?
Yes, and you've outlined it well for me to speak to. So the CARES Act funding was significant in stabilizing rural hospitals. The CARES Act money, payroll protection, PPP loans, all of those type of things that were out there that were able to bring dollars to the table are what helped these hospitals weather that storm of the pandemic. At the same time, you also had the advanced payments for Medicare. So these hospitals got these advanced payments for Medicare. Now, where I think you'll see a lot of challenges in the next 12 to 18 months is hospitals that chose to spend those dollars that were advanced payments that weren't forgiven, that aren't going to be able to be recouped, because the government's going to start recouping those advanced payments. And if they've already spent those dollars, that's where you're going to start seeing some of these cash crunches, some of these places fall, their days cash on hand falling outside of covenants, having to reach out for someone to come in and help them look at the situation. Also, many states provided free nursing care for areas. You know, I'm thinking of Texas specifically, many rural hospitals got a lot of nurses that were provided by the state. And that cost wasn't on their books. Well, they still have to have that service going forward. They're not going to have the CARES Act money. They're not going to have the payroll protection money. They're not going to have the free nurses. They may have had advanced Medicare money that they spent, and now Medicare is starting to recoup those dollars. So I think you framed it up well. Yes, there are some hospitals that weathered the storm and should be okay. There are some hospitals that have spent every available resource and are probably going to have a more challenging time in the next 12 to 18 months.
Fantastic. Jim, I want to thank you for joining us today. I can't wait to get a chance to visit with you today. You've got such a great perspective on this area and such a great knowledge base. I appreciate you joining us so much. It's a subject I find near and dear to my heart. I find it so fascinating what goes on in rural healthcare in America. I look forward to get a chance to visit with you more and talk about some of the places you've been to, some of the places you see, some of the characters, some of the beauty of working in rural America. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Becker's Healthcare Podcast.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.